When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That in hip hop, classic week, Crime Boss, All in the Game. Crime Boss debuted back on A Baller MJG's album, On the Outside Looking In, back in 94. He signed with Suave House and issued his debut the following year entitled All in the Game, which is the joint that we're reviewing right now. The album peaked at number 113 on the Billboard 200. He followed up in 97 with his most successful album, Conflicts and Confusion, released by Relativity Records, which went to number 25 on the Billboard 200. Despite the success of the album, Crime Boss left Suave House and released his third and final album, Still at Large, in 1998 for his own Crime Lab Records. Ken, which is, I never heard of Crime Boss at all.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so when you was like, oh yeah, I wanted to know what you think about this guy, I was like, okay, maybe just an older guy I never heard of. But this dude literally has three albums and that's it. And you know what? Like, listening to his style, he might have been ahead of his time. And the reason why I say that is he to me, he was perfectly poised for the underground journey. Mm-hmm. And I think that at the time of when he came out, 96 and all of that, it's... nobody really navigated, like there really wasn't an underground per se just yet. Like, mm-hmm. It was still being kind of cultivated because obviously New York dominated the hip hop scene, the radio and all of that at the time. And then West Coast came in and they were dominating. But the South, this is the time when, the South was bubbling, obviously with Outkast, obviously with Scarface. But like they didn't have anything established just yet. So I could see how somebody like Crime Boss and the music that he made just didn't necessarily tip the scale. But I think that if he would have came out later with the internet and stuff like that, oh man, this man would have had a cult following, bro. Like, Ken, this shit is hard. And what was so crazy, I'm listening to this, I'm like, dog, like, this has like a lot of West influence in it. The way he's rapping feels modern. It doesn't feel like dusty, dated. The way he rides, like he just has something about him. And then he has some comedy about him too. He had a line. I was trying to remember. I'm bad with lines, but I fuck with Crime Boss. I never heard nobody in life has ever mentioned this guy.
Man, I got artists for days like this. But this was, Suave House, A Baller MJG. So, man, if Suave House put some shit out, I was buying it. and he was one, man. And man, to me, this is his best album. I was really surprised to hear that the second album was as successful as it was. Because it was a big letdown for me. Because this thing, man, I don't know what it is, man. Like, I guess everything you said is spot on. Like, the way it opened with the second song, Put 'Em Up, and the way the guy just came in and started singing, and man, it was so fucking smooth with it. Story goes with 8-Ball on it. Great storytelling, fresh, quick, straight song, straight to the point. Man, and then it kind of switched up with Big Chief and then another motherfucker just coming in, just singing his ass off, man, towards the end. Man, like, this dude was killing it. Now, here's the thing. So, back then, you spend your money for your CDs and you go through it. So, first five were hidden for me. Recognize was cool, but because I love the album so much, I just played it and eventually Recognize just started to kind of sound different. I'm like,
that's that West shit. That's that West shit.
Yep.
See, because. Because, Ken, I was a little thrown aback.
Right. You're right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, like it has some West influence. I felt a little bit of Master P in this as well. Just, the stories about being in the street and stuff like that, and you know him just being a crime boss. Like it felt very Master P. Like Ken, this is that shit. Well, and I guess you know for me, since this is my first listen, it all flowed together. Like it all made sense. Like recognized, just fit right in line with everything.
It does. Yeah, it does. It eventually came together as a complete package for me. Dreaming was another one that didn't quite work with me the first couple of times I listened. Mm-hmm. But then again, the more I played it, I was like, okay, I started looking forward to that one. But Point of No Return.
Yes.
That shit.
Yes, sir.
Woo. And that has the group South Circle on that one. Mm. And man, they put out an album called All in the Game, which was another one that I liked.
See, and that's that South shit. You know what? The clap,
the
bounce. That went away a little bit from the West. Like, you get the little, it sounds a little different, but that's some South shit. That's when them niggas had the Daytons, and they swerving in the lane right here, bro. Yep. That's that Texas shit right there.
Yeah, and then the chick, the storytelling on that shit, I was like, damn, man. I was all in that story about dude getting played by that girl. And then going off, man, and then it ended with an untitled track, which was dope, too. But I thought Going Off was a good, quote unquote, closing track because the last Come and Get Some was basically an outro. But yeah, man, like it's listening to this, because I haven't listened to this in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, we're gonna listen to some old shit. let me pull something out. Let me pull out one of my favorites and see what people nowadays think. Mm-hmm. You know, what a young cat, you know, like you think. Because it was like 1995. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know I like it. Rob may fuck with it too, heavy. I have to ask him about it. But I was like, you know what, let's do it. I didn't really, because I'm just, you know, you just listen to music back then for me. But listening to it now, just kind of thinking about it critically, I'm like, yeah, there was variety on here. There was storytelling on here. I think the song structure with the way he used people singing on here and the way you wouldn't have a person singing now, and then you bring them in later. Mm-hmm. There was one song where it's just the instrumental to open. It's just the straight instrumental, and then he started rapping. The way he handed off, he got some kid or sounded like a kid on here rapping. Like, this dude put together a really, really solid fucking project, and it was just something me and the homies would just listen to, you know, and that was it. You know, but we used to ride around in this shit, man. Like, this is all we played.
Yeah. No, I could definitely see it, like you know, with the Beastie Boys, when you said you were 10 when that came out, I was 10 or 11 when this came out. So, and you know, like, and when I was preteen like that, the only hip-hop I was really privy to was anything that was on the radio and, you know, some of the bigger artists. But outside of that, like, this never cracked Chicago airwaves. You know what I'm saying? Like, we heard, you know, Cali stuff, Dr. Dre, Pac, Snoop. And we heard a lot of Midwest stuff, you know what I'm saying? Obviously Bone, Crucial Conflict, but we never really got Southern shit, you know what I'm saying? We got New York shit, you know, Heavy D, Jay, the Nas's, oh, you got all of that. Mm. But we did not get dudes like this.
Yeah. Yeah, man, like Big Chiefin. Like, he didn't even start that song off. Like, it's a dude singing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? It's like, I didn't think about it at the time. It was like, man, what the fuck? Who does that?
Yeah.
Like, you just open the track of this guy, and it sounds like an R&B song, and then he just comes in and just start rapping and close shit out. Man, nah, this shit was dope, bro.
That beat on Big Chiefin, you know who I could hear take all of the vocals off and just give him the beat?
Who?
Larry.
Really?
That's a Larry June and motherfucking Primo type shit right there.
Yeah, yep. The reason why I question that because I'm used to Larry being over slower stuff. At least that's what I hear in my head. You listen to him more than me, so you know more of the up tempo joint.
Yeah, because Larry got super slow shit. He got mid tempo shit and he got quicker shit. But this right here, this is Larry June speed right here. Just that pimpalicious, like, you know, Mac Daddy type shit. Yeah.
But yeah, most of the song is just singing. It's like, it's an incredible and a risky move by him for somebody with the name, Crime Boss, and you got all this killing and stuff like this, and you got this dude over here just singing his ass off with the falsettos and shit like that. Yeah, man. Nah, this shit was dope, man. Yeah.
So Lukendah's joint was released back February 7, 1995. 12 songs, 54 minutes. That just tells you it was a different time.
It was a different time.
12 songs and a whole hour worth of music. That's crazy. But what were some of your favorite joints on here?
Shit, man. Put them up. That's how the story goes. Mm-hmm. Fry. Mm-hmm. Dick Chiefin. Point of No Return. Man, I love everything on here, bro. Except, yeah. You know, Come and Get Some.
Shit, I'm gonna say, hey, look, do you like the bump in the whip? This motherfucker ride.
Yes, it does.
Hey, it's 95. This motherfucker. Yes,
man. It does. No,
is crazy.
Yeah, man.
Crazy. So look, I like Put 'Em Up, Story Goes, Fry. Give me Point of No Return. Give me Going Off. Like, man, this is hard. This shit is hard. Go listen to it if you never heard it. Stream it. You know what I'm saying? You know. Let's give Crime Boss a little bit of respect here. You know what I'm saying? It's a damn dope project. But you guys know what it is, man. It's Classic Week. And we rounding out Classic Week. And we're going to finish out the year with Young Dolph Week, RIP, and Atlanta Week. You know what I'm saying? Which order are they going to drop? We don't know, but it's going to drop. So just stay tuned. If you like Classic Week, we're pretty sure you're going to like those other ones as well. But you guys already know what it is. Me and Ken will be back tomorrow with another one. We out. Peace.
Peace.